In Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 through 6, there are three challenging commands that I want us to look at and kind of get that locked into our thinking. Church, there are places in the scriptures where God gives us commands that we can read quickly past. And we can oftentimes miss the importance, Brother Scott, and their difficulty in following. Well, this morning, I'm going to ask, as I said, that you open your Bibles to that text. And we're going to read three commands that Paul strings together for these Christians. First, in Philippians 4:4, we read, "Rejoice in the Lord always." Rejoice in the Lord always. Second, we read in Philippians 4:5, we read that our gentleness and our reasonableness is to be known to all people. Our gentleness and our reasonableness is to be known to all people. Third, in verse 6, we read, "Do not be anxious about anything." Do not be anxious about anything. Now, church, it's easy to read these commands quickly, but I want us to think about how challenging these commands really are. Rejoice in the Lord always. Everyone should see and know your gentle, gracious, and reasonable spirit. Don't worry about anything. Now, Heartland, as you read these commandments, I think every Christian would agree that they would want to do these things. That aren't a person on this call that don't want to do these things. We want to have these qualities within us. We want to rejoice in the Lord always. But Brother Ed, I don't know how to get there. I don't know how I can be rejoicing in the Lord in every situation. We want to be gentle and reasonable. We want people, church, to see us being gracious, reasonable, and considerate. But Brother Ed, I don't know how to be gracious, gentle, and reasonable. I'm trying, but I don't see me getting there the way I want to. We want to stop worrying. We don't want to be anxious about anything, but Brother Ed, I don't know how to get there. I know I should not worry. But I fall back into it every time something happens that presses me a bit, Brother Red. I don't know how to get there. Church, as we began, what I'm wanting us to see is that I think we want these characteristics and we know that we're commanded to do these things, but we also can admit the difficulty of becoming joyful, gracious, and anxiety-free people. It's a challenge. So how can we get there? What is the path of transformation that God is working within us so that we can fulfill the commands of these scriptures? Let's look at the solution in Philippians 4, verse 6. Please look and read carefully at the instruction given to us. Paul says, "But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God." Church, what I'm wanting us to see is that the path to this transformation is prayer with thanksgiving. But I also want us to consider something important, something else important that Paul says. Paul does not say that the path to rejoicing in the Lord always, be gentle, that people can see, and living as an anxious free life, living that. Paul doesn't say that it happens with prayer alone. That's not how it works. Paul does not simply say to just pray. Notice that there is a posture and a mentality that Paul needs us to have for our prayers. Our prayers, listen, and our requests are to be saturated with thanksgiving. I want to say that again. Our prayers and our requests to our God are to be saturated with thanksgiving. Heartland, thanksgiving, more often than not, is the missing ingredient in our prayers. Well, Brother Ed, why is it critical for our prayers to be prayed from a spirit of appreciation to our God? Why is Paul, church, constant throughout all of his letters, constantly talking about how he is always giving thanks to the God of heaven? Let me just show you some scriptures that I think most of you know and some of you don't. But Paul's message, when he writes the letters, you're going to find giving thanks to God over and over and over and over. He's praying this. In Romans chapter 1, verse 8, Paul says, first, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for all of you, because your faith is proclaimed in all the world. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 4, Paul says, I give thanks to my God always for you because of the grace of God that was given you in Christ Jesus. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 16, in that church, written to that church at Ephesus, Paul says, I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. Then in Philippians chapter 1, verses 3 and 4, Paul says, I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you, all making my prayer with joy. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 3, Paul says, we always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you. Paul is saying, we always thank God. And then in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 2, Paul says, we give thanks to God always for all of you, constantly mentioning you in our prayers. In 1 Thessalonians 2:13, Paul says, but we ought always to give thanks to God for you, brothers beloved by the Lord, because God chose you as the first fruits to be saved through sanctification by the Spirit and belief in the truth. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 3, we ought always to give thanks to God for you, brothers, as is right, because your faith is growing abundantly, and the love of every one of you for one another is increasing. Philemon 4, Paul says, I thank my God always when I remember you in my prayers. Heartland, what I'm trying to drive is, Paul is telling Christians that we need to give thanks to God in everything we do in our prayers. But Heartland, why is Paul telling Christians to give thanks always and for everything to God? Well, Paul in Ephesians 5:20 says, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then in Colossians 3:17, and whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God, the Father, through him. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18, Paul says, give thanks in all circumstances. I want you to write this down. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. Give thanks in all circumstances, Brother Scott. Not when just things are going good. When things are going bad, give thanks to our God, church, in all circumstances. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Paul is saying, this is the will of God in Christ Jesus, in all circumstances, give thanks. Well, Brother Red, why is that so important? This is the part, the heart of the lesson that I want you to pay attention to. Heartland, listen. Thanksgiving, Brother Scott, transforms the way we pray. Appreciation changes everything about how we talk to God. You see, when we pray to God, it's not giving God a list. If we desire to pray properly to the Father and not selfishly or wrongly, as James warns in James 4:3, James warns us, then our prayers must be saturated with thanksgiving. Church, please think about all the things that prayer with thanksgiving does for us, so that we are approaching our God, our Father in heaven, in the right way. First, prayer with thanksgiving requires me to recall what God has done for me in the past and how God has blessed me in the past. Prayer with thanksgiving requires me and you to recall what God has done for me and you in the past and how God has blessed all of us in the past. When I am entering prayer with thanksgiving, listen, then I am not allowed to forget all that God has done for me before. Thanksgiving is drawing back into my mind how God has been there for me in the past, and God has helped me in the past. Second, prayer with thanksgiving changes my focus from what could go wrong to what has gone right. Prayer with thanksgiving changes my focus as a Christian praying to our God from what could go wrong, which is what we worry about, to what has gone right. Heartland, listen. We lose our gentleness, lose our joy, and become anxious when we're thinking about everything that is wrong or everything that could go wrong. But prayer with thanksgiving, listen, changes our thinking to what our God has done right in our lives. Look at all the things that have gone right. Look at how God has brought us through questionable and difficult times. Church, when our prayers are filled with appreciation, when that happens, we're able to defeat worry and seek the Lord to help us like he's helped us before. I'm going to say that again. when, as we pray to God, and our prayers are filled with appreciation, it's then when we're able to defeat worry and seek the Lord to help us, like we know he's helped us in the past. Third, prayer with thanksgiving changes my perspective to see what I have, not what I don't have. Prayer with thanksgiving changes my perspective, Sister Body, to see what I have and not what I don't have. Worry rises and joy is stolen from our hearts when we look at what we do not have. When we look at what is missing or what we want things to be, then we lose our joy, lose our gentleness, and become consumed with anxiety. But prayer with thanksgiving, listen, moves me to see what I have. I am about to make my request to the Lord as he told me to. While I am thinking about all of the things I have right now. So we're giving our concerns to God. As Peter writes in 1 Peter 5:7, we are casting our anxieties on our God. But when we do this with thanksgiving, church, listen, we're able to see what we have right now rather than just focusing on what we do not have or what we are afraid of losing. I want to say that again because I want you to get it. When we pray with thanksgiving, we are able to see what we have right now rather than just focusing on what we do not have or what we are afraid of losing. And then finally, prayer with thanksgiving prepares us for what is coming. Prayer with thanksgiving prepares us for what is coming. Church, listen, when we are preparing our hearts to receive whatever God gives us and whatever way God chooses to answer our prayers and petitions, when we are offering prayers with appreciation, then we are ready to appreciate any answer that God is going to give us. If God says yes, then blessed be the name of the Lord. If God says no, then blessed be the name of the Lord. If God gives or if God takes away, blessed be the name of the Lord. I am in the position, church. You are in the position to receive whatever God has in store for you and me when I am approaching him with my earnest plea saturated with thanksgiving. In closing, I want to challenge us with three questions. First, what do you have to be thankful for? I just want you to think about that for a second and start thinking about that in your mind right now. What do you have to be thankful for? Can I tell us something? If we cannot quickly answer this question, then it reveals that we have our mind in the wrong position before the Lord. We can be thankful that we are alive right now. We can be thankful that we can worship God right now. We can be thankful for our salvation. We can be thankful for Jesus going to the cross. We can be thankful for the people on this call this morning who care for you, love you, and will walk faithfully with you. We can be thankful for our family. We can be thankful for the relationships that we have. We can be thankful that God has provided for us to bring us to a week like this, in which we have a place to live, food to eat, and clothes to wear. What do you have to be thankful for? Second, church, are we only telling God what is wrong and not thanking him for what is right? I'm going to ask you that again. Are we only telling God what's wrong and not thanking him for what's right? Are we just giving him a list of all the things that we need that he hadn't done yet? There really is so much that is right in our lives. Yes, there's no doubt that we can all point out things and point to things in our lives, Brother Scott, that are not going right. We can point to things in our lives that are painful, that have been painful. We can point to the hurt. We can point to our difficulties. We can point to some serious issues that we're trying to navigate through right now. But even with all of our troubles and problems, Heartland, there is so much that God has done right in our lives. And we must remember what Job understood during his suffering in Job 1:21. We start with nothing when we come into this world. I want you to get this. We start, Sister Jameson, with nothing when we come into this world. And we end up with nothing when we leave. Therefore, listen, everything in our lives is simply because our God has blessed us. Third, what are we carrying that we're not giving to the Lord? What are we carrying that we're not giving to the Lord? Church, our inability to be free from anxiety is because we are carrying our worries rather than giving our worries to our God. In 1 Peter 5:7, Peter says to cast those anxieties on him because he cares for you. In other words, give God the concerns. Church, we see Jesus do this. In Matthew 26:38, we read that Jesus tells his disciples that his soul was overwhelmed with sorrow. In Luke 22:44, we're told that Jesus was in agony before his betrayal and arrest. The intensity of his anguish was so great, church, that Luke describes his sweat being so heavy that it was like drops of blood falling from his head. So what did Jesus do? Did Jesus just suck it up or grin and bear it like we oftentimes tell each other? Did he just keep calm and carry on? No. We're told that Jesus prayed to his Father three times. Heartland, listen. The solution is to take it to the Lord in prayer, wrapped with thanksgiving to our Father. Church, thanksgiving, however, does not change our circumstances. That's not what it does. Thanksgiving, listen, changes how we live in every circumstance. Go back to Philippians 4:4. How are we rejoicing in the Lord always? By filling our prayers and requests with thanksgiving. How will our reasonableness, gentleness, and graciousness be known to all? By filling our prayers and requests with thanksgiving, so that we'll be filled with gentleness and reasonableness. It's interesting. How can I not be anxious? By filling our prayers and requests with thanksgiving. Church, please notice that that's the conclusion of Paul that he draws in verse 7. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Prayer with thanksgiving, Heartland, is the path to the peace of God that we all desire. Next week, I'm going to talk about that peace of God that surpasses all understanding, and I'm going to show you how we get there. So you need to come back and listen to what we have to say, but read the text as well. Prayer with thanksgiving is the path to go, to the peace of God that we all desire. So when you pray, saturate your prayers with appreciation and thanks to the God that we serve. Heartland, I submit to you that when it comes to thanksgiving and saturating our prayers with thanksgiving, it changes how you talk to God. It changes the fact that it's not a list of things that you're giving God and making demands. God has been good to everybody on this call. He deserved to be thanked. And what I'm going to share with you next week is when you learn to thank him, that's when that peace that surpasses all understanding becomes real in your life. It'll become real in your life because God knows how to bless you. He knows how to get you through turbulent times. If we can pray right, God will bless us. If we will live right, God will bless us. I hope this morning I've said some things that would encourage your hearts. Before we leave and get past the preaching portion, however, I'm going to do what we always do. At least we try to make sure that we get it in. If you're here this morning